The sermon title today is What Was That? What Was That? I don't understand. You cannot make sense out of the spiritual in the physical, saints. You cannot make sense out of the spiritual in the physical. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians in chapter 2 and verse 1 today. For 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. Chapter 2, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except that Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things for God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. These things which we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. So we're going to go back to verse 1. Verse 1 says this, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of a wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Is your today your strength in the power of God rather than the wisdom of man? Years ago, I'm going to ask you, and I'll probably date your age if you know, but does anybody remember a pitcher that was named Dizzy Dean? Oh, there's a few of us young people. Years ago, there was a big league pitcher. His name was Dizzy Dean. You may not have known him because he won this World Series back in 1938 as a pitcher. But he was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and years ago, there was a movie about him. I'll check this. Did anybody see that movie about him, of Dizzy Dean? Oh, he did. Thanks, Bill. There was a movie about him, and he was injured. And I think the movie took its own little twist on it, how he was injured. But he was injured, and he became an announcer. And so he was on the radio, back at that time where they didn't have TV sets. So all the little kids and all the kids in the household, they'd gather around the radio, and they would listen to the ball game. And Dizzy Dean would be the announcer that would be announcing the game that was going on at the time. And the kids loved him. But teachers did not. If I remember right, he was from Texas. He had a southern drawl. He didn't speak English very well. He used ain't all the time. So the teachers came and they protested. They wanted Dizzy Dean to be taken off the radio. True story. They wanted Dizzy Dean taken off the radio because he did not use good English. And they were afraid that his language would affect the kids and they would grow up not knowing the proper way to speak. But there was such an uproar, because he was taken off the radio, but there was such an uproar about him being taken off the radio, and so many people were proclaiming about him to be brought back, and you know what? He was brought back to the radio. Now, I'm here to tell you today that Pastor Leo is kind of a Dizzy Dean of preachers. I pronounce words wrong. I make up words. But Paul says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you except that Jesus Christ and Him crucified." I was determined not to know anything but Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And I proclaim that to you today. In verse 4 it says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not listen, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." Saints, I do not come to you with persuasive words, but words of spirit, words of power for you today. Pastor Leo does not come to you with orator skills that impress man, but with the authority of Christ and the power of the living God that is coursing through my life today. I am determined with everything that is in me that you will just not hear what I have to say, but you will feel what I have to say. I don't want to touch your mind. So many people, they want to touch your mind. Oh, I can convince them. I can persuade them. I can do all those different things. I don't want to touch your mind. I want you to touch your heart and your soul. There are many great orators. There are great many speakers, some very notable in the world today. I've even heard many great speakers or preachers of the word, but many of those who were very good speakers or very good orators, I cannot say that their preaching was anointed. Can you tell the difference between someone that's just getting up and speaking and getting up and speaking the word of God, and God will honor his word, but you can also tell the difference of whether that person is just proclaiming the word of God or they feel the word of God and they're sharing the word of God by power, by authority into your heart, into your life today. Amen. It's not that you hear the difference, you feel the difference. Amen. I want you to be moved by the Spirit and not by merely by words. I want every sermon I preach to be my very best. I want you leaving here every Sunday moved by the Spirit of the living God in your heart. I want you walking out that door and say, "Man, I felt something today. I had goosebumps running up and down my arm. I was touched by the power of God. There was something that happened in my life today." To grow spiritually, listen to me. To grow spiritually, you must be touched spiritually. The Spirit of God speaking to your spirit. Look at verse 10. Same chapter, verse 10. In verse 10 it says, "But God has revealed them to us." How? "Through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yet, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but of the Spirit who is from God, that we might know that the things have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Amen. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 6. Go with me to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, go to verse 63. So John chapter 6, verse 63. In John chapter 6 and verse 63, it says this: "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it is being granted to him by the Father. The words I speak, Jesus said, are spirit. The words of the Spirit that draw people to Jesus Christ. Now look at John chapter 6 and verse 65. In verse 65, John chapter 6, verse 65 again, he says, and he said, therefore I said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by the Father. Granted by the Father. What does that mean? Drawn to the Father. Not with intellectual words, but by the Spirit of God, that you're being drawn to the Father. Something is touching your heart. People that do not know Jesus, when they are given the salvation message, something has touched my heart. Jesus is drawing me forward. He's drawing me into that relationship that I have with him. It's not something that's intellectual. It's not something that's done with your head. You can never convince somebody to accept Jesus. They need to feel that they need to accept Jesus. You know, I remember, and you've heard my testimony before, I had a pastor come to my house because my wife had given her heart to the Lord. And I kept going to church, but man, I was hanging on to the pew. I was not going to go forward no matter what. He came to my house. And he said, you know what, Leo, he says, you need to come to Lord. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And my answer was, it, when I get this all figured out, then I'll make my decision. And that preacher in his wisdom said, Leo, you will never get it figured out. I'm telling you this right now. You will never get it figured out because it is spiritually discerned. But what will happen is when you come to Jesus, he will reveal himself to you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Drawn to the Father, not with intellectual words, but by the Spirit. Look at John chapter 6 and verse 44. Verse 44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me, what? Draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15. In Matthew 16 and verse 15. In verse 15, and this is Peter's great confession of faith, he said in verse 15, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Amen. Now, did Peter know that Jesus was the Christ, the anointed one, the Savior of the world? Yes, he knew that because it was revealed to him by the Spirit. It spoke to his heart and to his life. Through the Spirit, he was brought into that knowledge. Listen to me, saints. You cannot work out spiritual truths through a fleshly mind before you say, okay, I got it. It's impossible. Because now I understand it through my intellect. What you receive from God is not, will not, cannot be received through the flesh of your mind, but by the power of God through the Spirit of the living God is how you receive it. Look back at John chapter 6 again. Let's go back there. We're getting close. John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, and you will see what is taking place here. So we're in the Gospel of John again. Chapter 6, verse 41. John chapter 6, verse 41. Get there. Verse 41, it says, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread of life, which come down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, how is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Now, in all reality, this is what the sermon is all about for each and every one of us. What were they saying? Well, this doesn't make sense. That's what they were saying. This doesn't make sense. This is Jesus. He's the son of Joseph and Mary. How in the world can he come down from heaven? Now, go to verse 48. Verse 48, it says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers are the ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, and one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh that I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? This doesn't make sense. Verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then the Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. He who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which come down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna, are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue. In other words, this doesn't make sense. This is not communion. He is not speaking about communion here. He's speaking about you spiritually receiving the blood and the body of Christ spiritually in your life, the wholeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about not just, well, I'm going to accept this part of Jesus over here, and I'm going to accept this part of Jesus over here, and I want this part of Jesus over here, but I don't want this part. It's accepting and taking in all spiritually the fullness of the body of Christ into our life, that he reigns supreme in each and every one of us. When you try to figure out a spiritual truth out in your head, in the flesh, it will never make sense. You got it? Look again what Jesus says in verse 63 and 64. In verse 63, he said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. Why? It's because they're trying to figure it out. Jesus was teaching them that he was the bread of life. Spiritually, he is the giver of life, eternal life. He is the sustainer of life. But when you try to work this out in your head, you always come up with an empty bag because it never makes sense. When you believe, he reveals. You got to believe to receive. You get that? You've got to believe to receive. And when you believe, he reveals. I didn't understand how you could accept Jesus and be born again. And now I say, well, it was the simplest thing I ever did in my life. I just went forward. I said, Jesus, I repent of all my sins. I ask for you for my forgiveness, and I accept you as the Lord and Savior of my life. Now, how much harder can it get me than that? You don't have to write out a check. You don't have to give money. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. It's just believe in your heart and receive him as Lord and Savior. It's really easy. It's really easy when you know Jesus, isn't it? Because you've already done it. And I ask you today, well, how do you know Jesus lives? Because he lives within my heart. He's burning. He's burning in my heart. He's burning in my life. And it's not a physical truth. It's a spiritual truth. That lion is roaring in each and every one of us. We need to let him roar as never before. Hallelujah. Now, I'm telling you, saints, because this is going to be part two next week, because I want you to come back, and I want you to come back here next week, and I want you sitting in those pews, and I want you believing in the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because as long as you try to keep sorting it out in your head that this doesn't make sense or that doesn't make sense, you cannot receive the goodness of God, because you receive it by faith believing. You receive it by faith. Lord, what you got, I want. What you offer, I want to have it. I don't want to be left out. I want everything. I want the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can get wound up about this if I wanted to. Now, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to close on this because we got communion to do. But I want you to go to one more with me. We're talking about a man, when we talk about Paul, he knows just exactly what we're saying today. And he knew exactly that it was the truth, and he was telling us about it. But in Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, and verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Quit being ashamed of the gospel, saints. Quit being ashamed of it. This is a full gospel church. And you know, and I've pastored churches for many, many years. Some of them were denominational, some of them were non-denominational. I pastored Pentecostal churches where there would be some people that would receive the baptism with evidence of speaking in tongue, and some say, well, that's just not for me. That's just not for me. It's okay. I love your preaching. I love your teaching. I love the music, but that's just not for me. And you know what? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that if you're okay with that. But don't cut yourself short with God. God wants you to have the fullness of the Godhead bodily in your life today. When we look at this scripture, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed that you're a full gospel believer. Too many people say, well, do you at your church, you believe in speaking in tongues? Well, yeah, they kind of do. They kind of do. It kind of scares me. What in the Bible has God got to do to scare you? He only wants your benefit. He only wants you to be healed. He wants you to be set free. He wants you to be saved. He wants the power of God that's coursing through your life, that it'll increase your prayer life, increase your life of reaching out to other people, because you know what? Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, He doesn't only want to lead you. He doesn't only want to teach you. He wants to fill you with power. And too many are too reluctant of that power, but He wants to fill you with power. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I got a story to tell you, and we'll serve communion. I know somebody that knows somebody. You ever been there? And they go to a church, and they said, well, why don't you go out to Crossroads? And they said, well, that church is just full of Republicans. That was their answer. Didn't that kind of blow your mind? Now, I know we have Republican believers in here. And I know that we have Democrat believers in here. And you know what my stance is, but I never get in the middle. I want you to be led by the Spirit of God and to trust Him and have you lead you to the vote. But it's like people will say, well, I don't want to go to that church because it's a full gospel church. I don't want to go to this church over here because they might speak in tongues. Don't you ever be ashamed of what you stand for and who you are as a Christian today, because you're standing for the Word of God. Stand up for the Word of God. Don't back off from it. This is who I am, and this is what I believe, and this is what I stand for. If you take a church that's going to believe the Word and stand the Word and proclaim the Word, I'm telling you, it better be a full gospel church. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before You today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and as You only can, Father, that Your presence would sweep over this place, touch every heart, touch every life.